Well, very happy to have back with us Michael Ragai. You know that voice on this station, but he's also a guy that we like to regularly have here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Welcome to the show, man.
Good to see you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing
How
great.
How was Indianapolis?
The Super Bowl was fun, and I keep telling people who ask about it, obviously it couldn't have turned out better as a game as for excitement. But as a Super Bowl, and you know how we are in the media, we're all about convenience and about what's good for us. and that week couldn't have been better from a media standpoint, and really from a fan standpoint too, because it was such a self-contained Super Bowl. Yep. Everything was close.
And he's nice like that.
And I think it made a statement for cold weather cities. I'm not necessarily saying anything about, you know, could there be something here, but you know what, it's when a cold weather Super Bowl goes as well as that one does,
right,
it's good for, it bodes well for all similar Western cities.
No doubt. We'll find out more when the tri-state area in New York hosts in a couple of years. But
the show sounded
terrific. You sounded like you were having fun. That's why I wanted to mention it.
It was a ball. Radio Row was insane. When people bumped into you there, it wasn't just – many of them were other media, reporters, photographers, whatever, trying to get to somebody else. But often somebody bumping into you is, oh, look up, there's a coach, there's Dick Vermeil, or there's an actor, there's an actress, there's a singer. It was wild. There's Madonna. Madonna came in.
You had quarterbacks there, Andrew Luck and Robert
RG3,
Griffin III, right?
It was something. Where I want to start, first of all, with you, Michael, is we had Mike Holmgren on the show last night, and he said a lot. He covered a lot of ground. I think the first place he went was with regard to the hiring of Brad Childress as offensive coordinator, the credentials that he brings to the job. And I thought it was interesting how he talked about the process of, you know, talking with Brad as a former head coach, coming into a position where he's a coordinator now, working with a former co-staffer in Philadelphia, in Pat Shurmur. But he certainly touted Childress's credentials in a big way.
Yeah, he did. And I like the fact that it's going to duplicate, Vic, what we've experienced on the other side of the ball. Now, I think all of us, any of us, even the naysayers out there would say that Dick Geron's Browns defense in switching to the 4-3 took a significant leap forward this year in terms of becoming better, becoming more relevant, and becoming a defense everybody wants to be proud of around here. All right, so you're doing the same thing. Dick Geron, of course, who was on Mike Holmgren's staff in Green Bay, Mike expressed to you his tremendous regard for Andy Reid, as we all know.
Yeah.
And, the fact that Pat Shurmur and Brad Childress were together – listen, no matter what anybody thinks about that's subjective about Brad's personality or whether.
Yeah.
I always felt that this guy is a terrific offensive mind that knows how to put together a game plan, knows how to scheme for the opposition, and gets results. And whether he's been in that role, quarterback coach, coordinator, or as the head coach with the Minnesota Vikings. And I like the fact, too, that he made a move in his 5 years there from – a quarterback in a situation, and then you get Brett Favre thrust on you, and I think the results all the way around were very strong, were very good, and that makes me excited about what he can do with Pat with this Browns offense.
Yeah, and he called those, Mike Holmgren did, the unusual circumstances that he dealt with Childress in Minnesota, and those were difficult and probably undermine what he was trying to achieve somewhat as a head coach, and that's fine. That's on the resume. But here, it's an entirely different role. When you're coming in as an offensive coordinator, it's a vision thing. You're supposed to see the big picture of the offense, something he's done before. And I think the other key is, as a former head coach, I think the expectation clearly is that you're bringing that level of experience and insight of the job to the less experienced, the guy who's just finished his first year as a head coach in Shurmur, and you can share some things with him that are going to be helpful.
Pat Shurmur recognizes that. I felt right all season long and right from the end of the year that Pat, he's getting an opportunity as a head coach. But, Vic, I never felt poorly about that. Pat wants to continue to be a sponge. He wants to absorb. He wants to be able to go back, maybe take that with a guy that he was very familiar with in that role as offensive coordinator. You know, I get asked all the time, Vic, maybe you do too, about, well, yeah, right guy, who's going to call plays? Listen, that's going to work itself out. They'll take care of that. The point is that you know that Brad Childress is going to have a strong effect on the development of the young players in this offense and going forward, bringing his expertise, and also in, I'm sure, whether he calls plays or not. You think that Pat Shurmur's not going to lean on him from Sunday night through the following Sunday afternoon in terms of putting together game plans and breaking down your opposition and how you want to attack? That's going to be invaluable.
Michael Ragai joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we kick around some off-season conversation here. The other interesting part of the discussion with Mike Holmgren, there were a lot of interesting parts, but with regard to the coaching staff, was talking about Tim Houck, who is the new secondary coach, replacing Jerome Henderson, who went off to Dallas. I loved that he talked about Houck, the former player, that he, of course, knew and had on his team in Green Bay, and understood him to be, as he called him, the overachiever, the consummate overachiever. And I think that was very telling, too, because those guys, to me, always make good coaches, right? Those guys, for players, they can relate better. I always think that the highly, and I'm not trying to question his talent as a player, but the super, super talented, superstar, Hall of Fame walk-in guy is the guy who doesn't necessarily have to be as studious about the game because he's got the ability. Those other guys make better coaches.
You're right, and I think it's proven, and I've seen it not only in football, but quite frankly, in basketball and baseball too. Vic, I think the guys that you were talking about, that the game comes so easy to, and the guys that reached such an incredible level, they can't understand why everybody else can't do it like them.
Right,
Ted Williams was the class. You remember Ted Williams trying to manage?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean you can only be a 250 hitter? Yeah. I'm telling you how to do it.
Right. But him telling it and having the God's gift to do it is, they're two different things.
Exactly.
And he played, for multiple teams, like Patriots, we mentioned Packers, Broncos, Seahawks, Colts, Eagles, 49ers. Those stops along the way and exposure to different coaches, different people, different styles, different teammates. I think, as much as we might not look at that hire as it won't be looked at as big a deal as a coordinator hire, but I think it's critical to have that mesh, that chemistry in the staff, and for players like Joe Hayden, for young guys, TJ Ward and others, to look to this guy, and they're going to get, although I know they had immense respect for Jerome Henderson, and Jerome did a terrific job.
They're
going to, this will be a different perspective.
You're right. And again, going back to the lineage, and it's okay with me. I love that. Tim Houck played for Dick Geron when Geron was Mike Holmgren's secondary coach in Green Bay.
Right.
So I always like the fact that anytime, and that's why it's enjoyable to me, is that this thing here with the Browns is coming together in that I think everybody understands what the attainable goal is and how hard they need to work to go do it. And philosophically, when you've got all of that aligned, I sure think it starts you on that way forward as opposed to trying to piecemeal and have guys who come in and say, well, this is what, and again, it's okay to disagree.
Of course.
As all coaches, and we've all been a coach, of course they're going to disagree and throw things at each other, but the bottom line is that you've got it aligned here so that the sum of all the parts should take everything moving forward. And I like that. So I like a guy like Houck coming in with and reuniting with Dick Geron the D coordinator, who we already established did a very fine job in switching this thing to a 4-3.
Another big takeaway, Michael, was Mike Holmgren talking about Colt McCoy, saying that he, although they haven't had any regular contact since the end of the year, but that he passed all the testing and is healthy, is going to be fine and recovered from that concussion. Because a lot of people asked about that. But I think it's good news. It doesn't necessarily tell us about where the what the future is with McCoy, and his status still remains something a lot of us are going to have to wait and see about whether he's the starting quarterback in 2012, although I think that there's a good chance he could very well be. But at least it gives us an update on where he is physically.
Absolutely. And listen, it's something I haven't worried about. If that is to be Colt's destiny, as you said, even if he's got to come in here and competition for a job.
Yeah.
And I don't have any qualms about him certainly rolling up his sleeves, accepting that. And because I think the young man wants to show not just Mike Holmgren and Tom Heckert and Randy Lerner, but everybody in this city that you can count on me, trust me, believe in me, and going forward, because I'm going to, from a work standpoint, do everything possible to show you what being a quarterback of the Cleveland Browns means.
There's a vision in my mind. Overall, I see the big picture of McCoy, and the big picture wasn't good enough. I mean, to look at 2011 mm-hmm. body of work before his concussion and say, did enough happen there to sell me on the idea that he has to be the starter? No. But I do have that picture of his first half, especially, that early portion of that Pittsburgh game at Pittsburgh, and seeing aggressive and attacking. And if you take that snapshot of success that he was having against the Steelers there on the road, it was impressive enough to say that's what you want to see from him all the time. But if you don't see it from him all the time, then that's not good enough.
No, not in the NFL. And Vic, I think if Colt were sitting right here with us right now, he would say that he was disappointed in some areas that he didn't take steps forward in and achieve. That's how I've categorized. And again, as you know, as I've stated here more than one time,
yeah.
I'm an admirer. I'm a believer. I feel this kid certainly has what it takes. How would I categorize 2011 for Colt McCoy? It was disappointing to me because I don't think he made the strides that we were, and Colt included,
right.
were expect that he was expecting of himself.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I think that, he's driven to succeed. Now, as you said, may not be given that opportunity. That's the great unknown as we sit here approaching mid-February. But the next couple of months, I think, are probably going to give us clear vision on that one way or the other.
You want to stick around for another segment?
I'd love to. Love
just, to. Just getting started with Michael Ragai. Of course, you know his voice here on KNR. And we are going to do a little more discussion about the offseason, the Browns offseason, on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Back with Michael Ragai for the second half of our discussion about the Browns offseason. Michael, one of the other takeaways, a big takeaway from Mike Holmgren's appearance on this show, was discussing the fact that he said we, quote, have to take a pretty big step next year. Now, that's not a bulletin. After
no.
a 4-12 season, even I might know that.
Yeah.
Okay, but you hear it from the team president, and you say, okay, and the standard, and I thought it was consistent with his season-ending news conference, where mm-hmm. he also made the points there about not – you know, if there was another 4-12 in the 2012 season, he wouldn't be happy about
no.
that. No one else will be either. But I think it just reinforces the urgency with which I think this entire organization is taking into 2012.
Yeah, there. If you're looking at it calendar year wise, here as we sit, Mike Holmgren came in the door in late December of 2009. Tom Heckert came in the door in early February of 2010. So they're beginning their third season in terms of, although we didn't have free agency as we normally know it last right. offseason, Vic. And it just was everything convoluted. But that being said, third draft they're going to have together here in fortifying this roster. So I like the fact that they certainly are – okay, Mike can say and Tom can say about you want to continue to have strong drafts. I
right.
believe – we've said this right here on your show – they're going to get into free agency. I believe they're going to get into free agency coming up here very soon – that begins in mid-March, and they've really got some definitive ideas about they're going to augment some spots in this football team in the 6 weeks before the draft. So we'll see if how fruitful that becomes. But Vic, I'm very, very glad, and Browns fans should be pleased that this look, again, it's about winning football games. They know that. You know, you can't sit here and consistently always say about, well, yeah, we're building, and have 4-12s and 5-11s continue to follow. Mike and Tom know that.
Right.
They want to take a strong step forward in winning football games. They expect it. They know. You expect it. I expect it. Randy Lerner expects it. Everybody does. And I think whoever are, wind up being the 53 men in those rooms that put on orange helmets every Sunday, they're going to know, too, that we got to win and win fairly significantly in 2012.
No, and you're right. And I believe when you see what the actual free agency crop is, we don't know. There's projections galore
right.
who could be there, but yeah. Franchise tagging is going to go on, and signing extensions is going to happen. And teams don't show – everybody – I hear people get complain and say, well – why won't the Browns tell us exactly who they're going after in both the draft and free agency? Because no one who's smart shows their cards. You don't show your cards.
Why would
now.
You?
Why do you? Why does it make sense? Competitively, it's stupid.
Yeah,
And last I checked, these guys are not stupid. So the point is, you can kick around names galore. You can look at lists and see on any number of football websites who's, quote, expected to be out there or who could be out there. But even in writing those reports, like I'll see the name of a Ray Rice at running back, Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, they're not going to tag him, really, because that's the kind of thing that gets discussed. But it's great. It's football. It's hot stove type of thing to talk about.
It's fun for the fans,
and it's fun for fans.
It's just
and
not
fun
reality.
For, it's
a lot
just,
of, yeah.
That's the thing. So I can't have the definitive telling you or telling them. Here's what they're going to do. But I'm with you.
Yeah.
The free agency tool will be utilized by this team,
yes,
but in a very specific way.
Absolutely in a specific way. But
Who
fits? To me, I would say, again, without any names, you want to toss around a blueprint to me? Again, Tom Heckert's already told us, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. He said last year when there was clamoring for Vic, we remember, let's go sign Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
Let's go get Chad Ochocinco. Let's go get... Tom Heckert said, I am not signing free agents that are 33, 34, 35 years old
in
this football team. I'm not quick fixing it. We're going to put it together through the draft with selectivity and free agency. So, Browns fans, if you are one of, when you look at, like Vic said, have fun with those lists, think the younger veteran free agents, whomever they may be, those guys that have been maybe coming off that, you know, rookie deal, like a Ray Rice and like a Matt Forte. I'm not saying that, but think those guys that have been in the league for 4 years, maybe into their sixth, seventh year. Those are the guys that Tom Heckert and the Browns are going to take a peek at.
And buyer beware when a guy is available. Buyer beware.
Yes.
When a team doesn't tag or doesn't sign the guy. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that he wouldn't help you, but I'm wary when a team doesn't think a guy is good enough to keep.
Right.
He's somebody else's, I don't want to say problem, but he's certainly somebody else's refuse, possibly.
That's right.
And then you've got to decide, is he helping us?
Well, look at the decisions here. Let's stay with this football team. I mean, DeQuell Jackson, Phil Dawson, Peyton Hillis, I mean, just probably those are three right there.
Sure.
Decisions have to be made there, and the Browns will make those decisions. And, of course, as they formulate that, too, is going to tie in to how selective they may be in what areas out with other football players that become free agents.
Free agency starts at home.
It does.
When you make those hard decisions, and on that list right now, I mean, I look at the names of Jackson and Dawson, and I'm saying, okay, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around them not being Browns. I'm not so sure about Hillis.
We wouldn't want to do that, I don't think.
I'm not so sure about Hillis only because the road started with a deal that didn't get done.
That's right.
And if that's an indicator of where things are now, could things have changed dramatically? Because that thing got sideways. That went totally sideways.
Way sideways.
And is it Is it possible to straighten out? I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm less confident about that than I am
about
others.
No, I understand.
Others.
About the other two, about DeQuell Jackson and
Phil
Dawson.
Just in terms of prioritizing.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I wouldn't prefer, you know, sitting here in early February to go forward and say, no DeQuell Jackson and no Phil Dawson on this football team. Now, and Tom Heckert and Mike Holmgren have expressed multiple times that, no, those guys, we want to keep them Cleveland Browns. We'll do everything we can to keep them Cleveland Browns. As you said, the Peyton Hillis situation, there's been in the last couple weeks, there's been some, murmurings about
that maybe this thing
is coming full circle and the desire is there. We'll find out. The desire's got to be there both ways.
Both ways.
The bottom line, as you said, I tell everybody, the man was offered a contract in September, and he and his representation opted to not accept that. And so is that going to play a factor? You know, we'll see. We'll see. But, Jackson and Dawson are two that, as we sit here today, I believe that Mike Holmgren and Tom Heckert want to keep Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, figure out a way to do that. And, again, you got that tag to utilize.
You do.
With somebody.
So Dawson was tagged last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Michael, great stuff.
Always
good
to see
this,
Vic.
And we'll get together again and do this again.
I'd love to.
Through
anytime,
the off-season.
You know that. And so now we combine.
Yeah, the next
thing,
going to the combine. That's coming up February 22nd, and we'll broadcast the show from there. So we'll
Beautiful.
Get our first sense. You know, down in Mobile gave us a good opportunity to see the seniors at the Senior Bowl and get a feel for them. Now the combine, we see those guys, plus now the underclassmen.
Yeah.
Probably not working out, but at least a chance to interact and see what the Andrew Lux and the Robert Griffins have to say and younger players, underclassmen at other positions that we didn't see in Mobile.
Yeah,
so
and they did
fun.
Trot the two quarterbacks that everybody's got on the top of their wish list into Indianapolis, didn't they, in the Super Bowl?
Oh, they sure did. Yeah, they trotted them out. Their handlers were all over the place, so that was kind of fascinating.
That's great stuff.
Giving them a running start into what to expect in the NFL.
Welcome to the NFL.
He is Michael Ragai. You know him here, of course, from WKNR, and you also know him from the Browns post-game live television show on STO that is airs during the season after games, and yours truly part of that as well. Lots of fun. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports is in the game.